This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
Hey guys, we have an awesome episode with roast battle champion Mike Lawrence. We talk about kissing, we talk about period sex, and we talk about what to do after a breakup. Also, I'm coming on tour to a bunch of colleges in the fall. If you want me to come to your school, all you have to do is email Gina, G-I-N-A, Gina at kpcomedy.com. That's Gina, G-I-N-A at kpcomedy.com. Would love to come to your school and enjoy the show. Podcast. This is J Train. Jared Fried coming to you live from New York City's Upper West Side. Stand Up New York Labs are here every Tuesday and Friday with your emails, your stories, your questions. I say it every week. I'll say it again. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for getting involved. It's very cool for me. I love doing this show, and I love that you guys are getting into it as much as I like doing it. So keep telling your friends, keep telling your coworkers, your friends, your brothers, your sisters. And right now, we're coming towards the end of your shitty summer internship. Congratulations. You did it. You got that resume item that no one gives a shit about. Bravo. But listen, you've been listening all summer. I want you to bring Papa JT back with you to school, okay? I want you to bring the gift of the J Train podcast to a buddy or a friend or a sister in your sorority and let them know what we're doing here and that you enjoy it and give it on to the next one. Give the gift. So keep spreading the word. Keep sending those emails. jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. And it really feathers my nuts every time you guys send in on Snapchat, you listening to the podcast. It's very cool. I get to go into your world. Everyone's doing different shit. People on farms, people in cop cars, people at school. There's one guy who's he's in med school and he's filling up beakers and shit. It's fucking awesome. So I'm on Snapchat, jtrain56. It feathers the fuck out of my nuts when I get a Snapchat from you guys. And I am feathered as well to have this guest on today. I'm very excited. It's far too long. It's way overdue. I'm excited to have him. Super funny comic. Awesome guy. Mike Lawrence, thank you for coming on.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me. Do I actually hold the feather that's to your nuts? Or is what I'm making you feel causing someone else to feather the nuts?
You're causing me to feel feathered inside.
Okay.
It's a metaphor for my excitement to have you. But listen, we have a closet here. In this closet, there's 7-foot feathers.
Yeah.
And I can get my legs behind my head and we can just go up and down the seam if you'd like. We can go that way.
Yeah, yeah.
That's always an option, but I don't want to do that to the guest.
Feathers my nuts sounds like the worst Native American ever.
Feather my nuts.
Yeah. It feels like the buffalo down there.
I love it. All of you guys need to get involved with Mike Lawrence. Fantastic comic at The Mike Lawrence on Twitter and Instagram. Yeah. He writes for Schumer. You're the roast battle champion.
Damn right I am.
That's fucking awesome. I was really happy for you.
Thanks,
I gotta say, round of applause.
Thanks. So John Cena fan in me wants to go, the champ is here.
You want to do this entrance?
Oh, yeah. It's every time. Yeah. Just carry around. The trophy's really heavy.
It looked it. I mean,
it's very heavy.
So if you haven't watched it, Jeff Ross had basically a tournament style roasting championship.
Yeah, yeah.
And you are the winner, and you can go on. It's on Comedy Central on demand and
you
stuff.
You can see the whole thing for free.
See the whole thing, and you know we did another podcast last
YKWD,
week.
YKWD, yeah, Bobby, you know, Kelly's,
Bobby Kelly's, and we like went over it, you know, moment by moment, which is very cool to do.
Yeah,
if any of you guys go watch it, you gotta go watch. I'm gonna suggest it. I hope this doesn't make you.
Okay.
Go watch Mike Lawrence roast Ralphie May. Just go fucking do it. I sat there. I was like, really? And I'm going to feather your nuts.
Okay.
Let me get the feather out. I watched it and I go, and I'm sitting there like, I was like half hammered. I'm drunk on my couch, like 5 a.m. I have it on the DVR.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, Mike Lawrence just ended Ralphie May's career. That was my, and I know you didn't because Ralphie's funny and awesome and, you know, a big time comic, but it
and
was
if,
like.
And if he dies, I have nothing to do with
it. No, yeah, we'll put out the disclaimers now. Yeah. But watching it, it was like, you know, at the end of Mortal Kombat when someone's like rocking back and forth?
The fatality.
The
yeah.
fatality. That's what he looked like at the end of the battle.
I know.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Was it, and you, are you excited about, like, what was the best part of that whole experience?
I mean, I always hope that the key to, like, you know, leveling up my comedy career would be making a fat man cry on television. I didn't think it would happen that way, but I always hoped it would.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing was cool. Like, you know, Ralphie's awesome, super funny comic.
Of course.
Like, you know, like, when you're battling, it's funny because, like, you knew me years ago.
Of course.
When I was just, like, that guy at the open mics.
Yeah, well, we've known each other a long time.
Yeah, very long time.
And Mike's was so much fun to watch at open mics because you were, like, you go to open mics and sometimes you just see, like, you see people that are, like, working at it and, like, working hard. And then you see the person that's, like, I don't know why they're there. You know, just trying, they're there for like some sort of like, it's free therapy, really. It's a $5 therapist for them.
Yeah.
And Mike was always fun to watch because he would go up there and he was like the truth sayer.
Yeah.
He was like, he would tell people that you were like, oh, this guy again. And Mike would actually say it during his time. So it was like you had been preparing for this.
Absolutely.
Your whole life.
Yeah.
It was great. I got to say, and like, listen, all of you guys, go follow Mike. He's super funny, awesome comic, at The Mike Lawrence. And you can also check out his podcast. He's got a podcast called Nerd of Mouth. How would you explain that to the listeners here if they want to add it to their podcast library?
If you really liked Suicide Squad and want to know why you're wrong, listen to us.
Listen to
you. Yeah, we review the new movies and stuff. You know, it's super fun. Me and my podcast partner, Jake Young. And
Jake's super funny, too.
Oh, yeah.
He's great.
Marcus Parks on Cave Comedy Radio Network. It's 30 minutes, you know, it's super quick. Fun.
When does it come out? What day of the week?
It comes out every Thursday.
So listen, get at you guys, you know, in the library, you got J-Train Podcast.
We're pro female Ghostbusters, so I may have lost most of you. But the few of you I just found by saying that, be my friend forever.
I think most of the listeners here were too busy caring about fucking a girl in a Ghostbusters costume.
Yeah.
And then who was playing the Ghostbusters.
Nutbusters.
Nutbusters. They were looking for that.
Makes me feel good.
So all of you get involved. MikeLawrenceComedy.com. He's going to be Laugh Boston Friday and Saturday, the 12th and 13th of August. That's tonight and tomorrow. So if you're in the Boston area, go to Laugh Boston and see Mike Lawrence. Laugh hard at Mike. And then he's going to be at the Comedy Zone in Greenville, South Carolina, September 23rd to 25th. So get involved at The Mike Lawrence on Twitter and Instagram. Are you ready for the emails?
I am.
Let's do this. You ready?
Yeah, this will be fun.
I'm pumped about it. You guys, the emails keep getting better and better. It's jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. Keep sending them in. Super pumped about some of the ones we got here. Period sex dilemma.
All right.
Is that a dilemma for you ever? Has there ever been a moment where you're like, the period? No.
No.
Right?
I'm still willing to.
I think it's a young man's thing.
Dude, if I got that far and that's stopping me, come on.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Too much blood. I can't be here. This guy writes, Dear J-Train, longtime listener, first-time emailer. I'll feather your nuts a little bit and tell you that you're killing it with the podcast.
My beard and face looks like a period pussy all the time.
You're in constant period pussy mode. Yeah.
So it's fine. It's like, you're not out disgusting me. Oh, you have a little blood in there? I have combo cheese.
Yeah,
like,
so listen,
we're all right.
At this point, we're okay. Well, that is, I'd love to see a side-by-side comparison of a period pussy and your face and just be like, what is it? You know? So
mine looks like a bird nest after a forest fire. We're all right.
I think you'll be okay.
Yeah.
Not only do I tell my friends at work, but I listen religiously every Tuesday and Friday, so thank you for all you do for real. Here's the backstory. Me and this girl have been dating for about 3 months. She's an 887, so we have a rating system here on the podcast, okay? It's the area code method. Girls or guys can use it. 887, face, body, personality.
Yeah.
So this is what he would consider a catch.
Yeah.
And things are starting to get serious. Fast forward to now, I seem to have landed myself in a messy situation after a long night of cuddling and watching.
Also, if she's willing to still be with you after you call her an 887.
Keep her. Keep her as long as
you... So it's face, body,
personality.
Oh, the seven? Yeah.
So, listen, that's also what his engagement speech is going to be.
Yeah.
Listen, you were the best 887 I'd ever been with.
887 means, oh, it'll be fun now, but it's going to age terribly.
Yes, exactly. Hopefully the seven stays up.
Yeah, the personality you want to be the highest rating because that's going to last the longest.
That's the one that doesn't age.
Yeah.
So he said they were watching Netflix. I went into my for my well-deserved meal. Uh-huh. After a long night of that's a funny sentence. After a long night of cuddling and watching shitty Netflix reruns, I went in for my well-deserved meal. That is the creepiest way to tell a girl you're gonna go down on her I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yes, yes. my well-deserved meal.
What if you? Let me tell the listeners right now.
That means that he wants like an Andy's mint to pop out of the pussy when it's done.
He wants something to finish it off.
Yeah, yeah.
He needs some sorbet at the end to change his palate.
A gelato.
Yeah. I just like the thought of him being next to her and like cuddling with her and then just being like, time for my meal. And then just going down and her being like, no, I can't get wet.
Well-deserved meal. That sounds like how Uncle Scar from The Lion King would eat pussy. Like, I'm ready for my well-deserved meal.
And then goes into song and dance about eating out chicks.
Well, he's, you know, prepared. Yeah.
I proceeded to put, so after warning me that it was her time of the month, I proceeded to put on a dong bag, power through, and take my chances like any real fuck boy would.
I just imagine, I'm sorry if I
No, go, keep going.
I feel like every other sentence, there's like copyright signs on this. Well-deserved meal copyright, dong bag copyright.
Yeah. There is a language here. Fuck, I was wrong. After one deep thrust, I looked down finding a fucking massacre.
Now, so the fucking is the well-deserved. When I hear well-deserved meal, I figure it's kind
of
language.
Well, he said well-deserved meal, and then after warning him that it was the time of the month, he did the dong bag.
Oh, I got you.
Copy
see.
Pending.
Sequence of events.
Pending publishing. After one deep thrust, I looked down. It's a fucking massacre. Now I know what you're thinking, J-Train. Did you lick it? No, that's not what I'm thinking at all. I'm wondering if she fucking...
Can I lick it?
Did she call the police? No, you sick fuck. I told her not to worry about it, and that shit happens. At this point, she realizes that she's exposed probably her most disgusting self to me and proceeds to freak the fuck out. Who can blame her, though? She just bled on my dick. What's really fucked up is that I'm not even freaked out about it. I don't think that's fucked up. I don't think you should be freaked out. I've heard so many fucking stories about this shit happening that I'm almost prepared for it. Here's the real problem. She's so disgusted that she tells me that she can never talk to me again and runs out the door. I tried several times to explain to her that it's not a big deal and that it's natural body function, but she stayed persistent. I've tried texting and calling her, but nothing. What the fuck? I mean, I understand that it's extremely embarrassing, but is it that big of a deal to throw away a potential relationship?
P.S. I'm a vampire.
I like her a lot, but this is sort of a reaction. Is this sort of reaction normal? What do you think?
I mean, I think that.
I mean, she's taking it pretty seriously. I hear what he's saying.
Yeah.
Like, the thing is, we don't know what his reaction was. If he looked down at his dick and they looked at it like it was a dead baby. Like, of course she's going to be self-conscious because you showed
which
her.
Which she would refer to as a dead babe.
Dead babe. One single dead babe. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, you know, if his reaction is important to this. Like, did he get... You can't...
I know.
With period sex, if you're going to do period sex, you are in and you got to be the coolest fucking dude ever.
Yeah.
You can't have one moment.
You can't meatloaf that shit.
No.
You know, you will do anything for love and you'll also do that.
Exactly. Yeah. That is exactly what it is because you have to be so supportive because everything he's saying, I mean, it's in some loose written language, but about women and how they feel about that moment in their life, they're letting you in. They're letting their guard down for you.
Yeah.
So if you have a five, like even an instant of just looking like, oh my God, you're an asshole.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it is hard to
because we don't know that. We have never dealt
with
that.
But well-deserved meal and dong bag. Like if that's what you're writing in the hopes of advice, we have to start to wonder how he's talking to another person in a fragile situation.
And I understand he's writing it for laughs here on the podcast, and I'm sure he's not talking to her that way, but this is something you have to be self-reflective. You have to say, am I being as cool as humanly possible when she's being so cool about this already?
Well, here's the scariest two words in this whole email is well-deserved, right?
Yeah.
So
fair.
So what I'm getting at, if I'm intoning and, you know, I Read a lot of Batman comics. I know how detective work goes.
Yeah.
watched the first two seasons of Sherlock.
Yeah, so you get it.
Yeah, so my thought is she probably wasn't comfortable having sex in the first place. Mm. He probably took her to, like, Buffalo Wild Wings, TGI Fridays, or another establishment of that ilk, and then was like, all right, got to pay the piper.
Probably said,
lay the piper. High-fived himself.
It may not have been the magical night that she had envisioned.
It definitely doesn't sound ape-rate, but it has that feel. It has that feel of, come on, let's do this, and her not being 100% into it, and then her realizing, you know what, I didn't want this to begin with, mm-hmm. and freaking out.
Well, this is her out. You know, Mansev, you're...
Yeah, I also wanted to... I picked up on something. Mike was saying, you know, he's using the word dong bag. You don't know how he's actually talking to her. He said, I tried to explain that it was a normal bodily function. It's like, that's sort of a weird clinical way to go about it.
It's very... You know,
like, this guy's dialogue is all over the place. Sometimes he sounds like the substitute teacher, and sometimes he sounds like the kid throwing a paper airplane at the substitute teacher.
It's both sides of the aisle. Yeah. I hear what you're saying.
It's a really Harvey Dent situation here.
I think that this is her... I do agree. This is somewhat of her out. And just like guys, when we're like, you know, I've done this before where I'm like, okay, I'm okay with this relationship, but I see something this girl did that I can be like, here's what ended the relationship. Like, girls always say, did I scare him away? No, he just didn't want to get in a relationship with you from the get-go.
Yeah.
Saw it, got serious, and said, okay, here's the point where I can act like I got scared away so that she somewhat blames herself.
Well, how long did he stare at his dick, too?
I mean, this is what we're wondering. So she's saying, let's put her at her, like let's give her the benefit of every comfortable doubt.
Let's say
she did that, she was like, listen.
Let's say she's a fan of the Hunger Games series and not Divergent. She's got good taste.
It's good taste. Yeah. But she was like, listen, I went back with this guy. We went to have period sex. I didn't even really want to hang with him. This is my chance to be like, I'm done. I think the move, you can't push a string. So what you do is you got to send her a text just being like, hey. And you have to be so fucking cool. Just like the meatloaf advice.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll do anything for love. I'll even do that. And you have to be like, hey, listen, I know we had it's just one text, and you have to give her the option of leaving. So it's, hey, I just want to let you know that I'm sorry that we had an uncomfortable night that night. I'm very into you. I want to see where this goes. If you do not, that's totally cool. I just want to put myself out there and let you know that I'm having fun with you and I want to keep having fun with you. Yeah. Don't make it about, you know, the bloody mat. You know, don't be like, I got a little weird with blood. No, don't fucking go back to that. Make it as comfortable as possible for her to come back in while also reassuring her that you're in for this. You want to see where this could go. But give her the option of being like, I'm out. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Mike Lawrence at The Mike Lawrence on Twitter and Instagram, MikeLawrenceComedy.com. Go check out all his dates. Going to be in Boston and in South Carolina in September. Go check him out. Let's keep it going. Menage a Cuckold.
All right.
Okay. You're familiar with the cuck? I think cuck is getting thrown away all around.
I wrote for Inside Amy Schumer this season. Yeah. I've been called a cuck.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
What is that? This is, I'm new to this.
It's the new, like, the MRA, like, assholes love calling other guys cucks.
What's MRA?
Like, men's rights activists.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's like a different way of, like, calling them gay? Like, is it like a...
Yeah, like, you know, like a feminist.
Like submissive, like,
yeah,
type
exactly.
of thing. I got
exactly.
okay.
submissive,
because I've been hearing it a lot, and, you know, these words come up, and I'm like, I don't even know where we are on the word thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, what is good, what is bad?
It's funny when you get insulted and then have to look it up and go, that ain't that bad.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm okay.
Hey, J-Train. So, yeah, as the title says, I've got an opportunity to make a hell of a story happen. Oh, misspelling. So backstory, an old regular hookup from about 3 years back. And he says she's a 5'4"4. It's a regular hookup. Hit me up for the first time on Saturday asking if I knew what cuckold porn was. So is any single guy. I love that you have to have them. I do know what cuckold porn is. I like that he had to have like a moment where like, yeah, I gotta go look it up, when it's like, yeah, you know what the fuck it is.
I mean,
I had never heard what a cuck is. Like, that's like a new thing.
I get your ratings thing, but anyone who uses it, I am already at a
at a baseline
333. Yeah.
It's, well, like, girls can use it too. This isn't only guys. I know. Girls write in with it too. So is any single guy in a dry spell? I threw out my rough idea of what it was.
And it's just anyone who does the rating system, you know, thinks they're a 10-10-10. That's the problem with
it. We have had people write in where they're like, I am, and they give themselves a rating, and I'm always like, subtract one.
Yeah.
Like, you know, from each of them. I'm like, we all think, I remember someone said, like, there was an audience member at a show once, and he was in the front, and I was like, oh, you, and I made the mistake of telling him what I thought he looked like.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you look like Michael Chiklis. And he was like, who? Like, he played dumb. Yeah. And I was like, the commish, the shield, you know, I was like,
the thing,
the thing, you know, like whatever. And he goes, no. I go, well, what celebrity do you get? And he was like, Vin Diesel. And I was like, oh, we all think we're one celebrity better looking than we are.
And it was Michael Chiklis. Yeah.
That's the big reveal. So he said that, hit me up for the first time on Saturday asking if I knew what cuckold porn was. So any single guy in a dry spell, I threw out my rough idea of what it was, and she responded that her boyfriend of 1 year came up with the idea, and I'm supposedly her first option to fulfill his, her cuckold fantasy, and that also both him and her want me to do it, but also to do the job the right way, right? They want me to bust a nut in her as well. Oof, seriously, what the fuck? So, of course, asking myself what Papa JT would say. that makes me a little sad to know that she's like, that he's proposed with with having sex with another guy's girlfriend and not using a condom. And he's like, what would Jared Freed think about this?
I feel like that you call yourself Papa when you look like you've paid for at least three abortions.
A week? I'm on a weekly abortion binge. Papa JT is my favorite of the nicknames.
I kill on stage and also in the PP.
Exactly.
All the PPs I'm slaying.
So I'm like, sure, it's double, but it's doable, but damn, that sounds weird as fuck. I ask all my friends and they're all saying, just do it. Fucking savages. Any advice would be much appreciated regardless.
I would also love if it turned out he worked at a Nike factory and that's why they're saying just do it.
Just do it. Yeah, they're like company motto. Yeah. Company motto. Gotta stick with it. Yeah. What do you think? Does he do it or no?
It doesn't seem like it.
No.
Not for a 5-4-4.
No, that's the thing. It's not like you're going back to like some fun, like something rating, you respect as a hookup.
The rating system is also them talking themselves out or into a situation. You know?
Very fair.
Like with the, what was it, the 887? Like that guy's like, yeah, but she's an 887.
Yeah. Like, I could
build her up to a 9.
Yeah. With my help.
Yeah.
I think for this situation, you have to like count the number of people that could throw you under the bus.
Yeah.
And right now, there are two other people that could make your life a fucking weird, horrible event. So, like, listen, if it was just her being like, hey, I gotta hook up, I want you to fuck me, I'd be like, yeah, go back and do it and then get out of there. But you got the other guy in, and with other guys, and like this whole cuckold thing, with other guys, there's every guy is like 1 inch away from being annoyed at another dude getting with their girl.
Yeah.
So as cool as he is, he doesn't know how cool he'll be if there's a point where maybe like you're having sex with her and she's like, this is the best I've ever had. And he's like, whoa, that's not what I wanted. It's like, dude, you signed up for this whole thing. You don't know what is going to snap him off.
Yeah. You never want to be in a, you knew what this was situation.
Yeah. And
this is why you don't be a cuckold. And you don't buy comedy tickets off the street.
Know the whole story. And it's like, it's another thing. I think if you knew the guy, then which that probably never happens, knowing the guy, because the guy, this is his weird whatever. Then you're like, okay, I know if I can take the guy. I know what his sensibilities are. I know if he flies off the handle. You don't know what this guy is going to like get fucking tripped up by. You know, I just think this shows that porno is way too available.
Yeah.
Like, what guy has this fantasy unless he's already seen it in front of him, you know? Like, I wouldn't know what, you know, unless, then now there's a whole fucking subcategory.
Porn ruins all of us. Like, I've never seen an Asian vagina, but I've seen thousands of Asian vaginas.
You could paint an Asian vagina just from memory.
Oh, yeah.
But you could not. And if someone was like, oh, so you must be really into it. No, never been
no,
with
never
one.
Never seen, yeah.
That's funny. That's a ridiculous. Yeah, and it's like, and we do all go down those rabbit holes of porn where it's like, I guess we'll see where we end up. And then you're like, how did this happen?
Two things I've seen a lot but never done. Skiing and anal. Someday.
One day you'll get to both mountaintops.
The slope.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Mike Lawrence at the Mike Lawrence on Twitter and Instagram. Go follow him, support him. We are sponsored this week. This is our second time being sponsored to them. Harry's. This is very cool for me because I am not only, I'm a client.
Yeah.
I use Harry's razors.
What's a razor?
They're really good. They're really good, well-made razors. Listen, I'm gonna read some of their stuff that they said, and then I'm gonna get into it. But Harry's makes just one razor with all you need for a close, comfortable shave. 5 German crafted blades, flex hinge, lubricated strip, quality guaranteed, full refund if you're not happy. Factory direct price, they cut out the middleman, no upcharges, half the price of the leading brand. So that should be really all that matters to you, is that you're spending money on something you have to spend money on, and there's a company like Harry's that's gonna give it to you for less than you're spending. And it's also a great product because I use it. The one thing about a good razor versus like just any razor, and I'll say this, is that your beard grows in more comfortably. And that's what I've noticed with Harry. So they got this set called the Truman. It's a really good option, and I'm going to encourage you to go get it. It's for $15. You get a razor handle, moisturizing shaving cream, 3 of Harry's 5-blade German-engineered razors, plus there's a special offers for the fans of this show. Harry's will give you $5 off your first purchase with promo code JTRAIN. Go to harrys.com right now. Look for the Truman set. That's called the Truman set. That's HARRYS.com. Promo code JTRAIN. At checkout, you get $5 off, and that supports this show that you guys love as well. So stop compromising. Give Harry's a try today. Go right now. Listen, harrys.com. Promo code JTRAIN. You get the $15 Truman set for $10. That's a fucking deal. Harry's.com, promo code JTRAIN. Mikey, let's do this. You ready?
Yeah, let's do another one.
JTRAINPodcast@gmail.com. JTRAINPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Mike Lawrence at the Mike Lawrence on Twitter and Instagram. He's got the Nerd of Mouth podcast. He's going to be at Laugh Boston tonight and tomorrow, as well as Greenville, South Carolina. 23 and can't make out.
Okay.
Okay. This is a Hey J Babies. Q chick email. It's a lady listener.
Nice.
Bring on the chick email.
All right.
I'm a 23-year-old post grad and I can't make out. I wasn't one of the cool girls in high school and I was raised as a good girl. So when I got to college and in my 3-year long distance relationship, I never really got any reps in. When I got in my second relationship, my boyfriend could tell I wasn't good, but never pushed the subject because I was better with my tongue elsewhere. Again, no real reps. I like that thought. Better elsewhere. Where? A nipple? I know, but
she licked the balls and then tried to make out. I was like, I don't get what's wrong.
How come I'm not good at kissing?
Yeah, I just rimmed you.
I know about the alphabet, and I've shamefully looked up videos online, but when I step up to the plate, I get embarrassed, self-conscious, and can't commit. I'm not the kind of girl to have drunk bar makeouts, but I'm getting more and more self-conscious about it and really discouraged. So now that I'm single again, what should I do? Is it a big turnoff to guys? Is making out that important? Help J Train. P.S. I'll be in New York in 2 weeks. Can bring a satchel of feathers for you if you can help me practice. That's very nice offer. What do you think the girl can't make out?
I mean, I think that, you know, nowadays, like, we're so used to people willing to do everything that it might be attractive to some people to find someone who can't do something.
Yeah. Like a Zigbert, when everyone's zagging, you're zigging.
It's a fetish of mine to be with someone who's good at soft failures. I mean, I think that, you know, it's fine. Like, you know, just find someone else that's fucking awkward.
Yeah.
And can't... If you both can't make out, then you can make out really well.
Yeah.
It's the two negatives equals a positive.
I agree with that. I think for her, first of all, I know it's easy for me to say And it's harder to feel.
She also sounds like someone who lost her anal virginity way before her vaginal yeah. virginity.
Anal went first. She was like, we're going to go back.
I'm a good girl. Anyone who says I'm a good girl and yeah. like the parent values and all that. Oh, I know what that is.
When she went from back hole to front. Yeah. So I just... So I think for her, let me give you some encouragement. Everyone sucks at this shit at some point. And people still suck at this shit. Like no one, you're really, I think with making out and just like Mike is saying, you're looking for like the, even when you put the battery in, the positive to your negative. Like you're looking, because I've made out with girls that I'm sure consider themselves great makeouts and been like, this isn't the makeout for me.
It's not only that, but I do think porn has... ruined like the expectations of quality when it comes to like being you know intimate with other people, that like she's probably watching like this really fucking hot and heavy shit that is unrealistic to begin with, you know,
and like as you see the movie makeouts and like any movie, not even just porn, you see like romantic comedy, you know, they have this amazing kiss with music in the background. Now romantic comedies aren't life.
Yeah,
you know, most kisses are happening with like wet noises and it's gross. Like no one has John Mayer playing behind them while they're making out. So
and everyone after a minute is like, oh, we're still doing this. Yeah, I guess are we doing this?
Are we going to go anywhere with this?
I think with the modern attention spans as they are, comedy shows should be 70 minutes and makeout session should be 20 seconds.
Just take everything down.
Yeah, no one spends all 7 minutes in heaven.
No. There's 6 minutes of like, do you want to do this? And then like 30 seconds of actual heaven.
Oh, it's mostly purgatory.
Yeah.
And then you're chosen in. And then you leave.
Well, I think with the makeout stuff, like, listen, yes, there are good and bad makeouts. I've had bad kissers, but I've been a bad kisser. So I think this is all about getting comfortable with the right person. I think you're looking for the makeout before the person. Yeah. And especially when you're new to all this shit, and like she said, she doesn't get a lot of reps. I think when you're saying like, oh, I've been good with other places with my tongue, like I get what you're doing, and because no one wants to be the good girl anymore. We're all trying to be, you know, just like you said with porn, like it's all out there.
But this is what it really seems like. This seems like a girl who's fucked a lot but never made love.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
You're trying to please without pleasing yourself.
That she watched, you know, all these Disney cartoons and, you know, like, she's put this power to kissing.
Yeah.
That, you know, is in her head.
Mm-hmm.
And all these other things that, you know, she is so careless and carefree at.
Yeah.
That she's never, I think she probably is a good kisser. I think what it is that she's never truly found the person that she loves,
that she really wants to kiss.
Yeah, and that loves her back.
I hear that, and I, you know what, I don't think she's wrong for that. I think she's also like in a place that a lot of people are. It's the reason you know I wanted to read the email, because she's in somewhere where it's like, okay, all these guys are out there, they all want to have sex, they're all talking about sex. Like I went out with a couple girls like a couple weeks ago, and it was after a show, and they were going to U of M. And they're like, you know, they're in college, you know, and they were talking about sex at a level that I don't remember talking about sex in college.
Yeah.
Like it was just way open and way more out there, and which was like fun. But at the same time, I was like, man, I don't know if I would have been able to keep up, you know. And I think she's kind of in that similar space where it's like, everyone's talking about sex. Everyone wants to have sex. So I'm going to do all the sexual shit and not really care who it's with or how it's happening or where that makeout is going to be.
And then when she's
with.
Alone, she gets really sad about the love that she hasn't found.
Well, that's...
I go fucking dark.
I like it. Yeah. I think you're right.
Look, I was 23 when I lost like my virginity.
Yeah.
Pretty good kisser. No. But, and you know what? It's like, and when you wait that long for something, like by the time you do it, it's like, all right, well, now it's done. And the good thing is, like, once she has that first great kiss, like, it's going to change her life. And then she's going
to be so comfortable and confident. And I think the advice to her is to invest in the person, not the kiss. And I think, you know, she referenced drunk makeouts. I don't think that's your move, because that's not, again, you're going to come back home and be like, fuck, I just did a horrible drunk makeout again, instead of pursuing someone. And listen, when it is the right person, you can actually say to them, hey, listen, I want to be a better kisser with you.
Yeah, and if
that's
you're
someone
not,
you'd be comfortable saying it to, that's the person you're going to get better with.
And if you're not good at doing something, drinking won't make it better.
No.
If you're already a bad driver,
yeah.
drinking will not make you better.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm a great dancer, and then it makes me even better, but like I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, drinking, the only thing that makes you better at is like singing LFO Summer Girls.
Yeah, and believing people want to hear that.
Yeah, that's the main thing. Yeah.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com, JTrainPodcast@gmail.com, at The Mike Lawrence on Twitter. Go follow him, support him. Fantastic comic, MikeLawrenceComedy.com. Coming to your town. Let's do this one. I like this one. Breakup aftermath protocol.
Okay.
This is an interesting thing because, like, right now we're so connected that it can be weird. Jared Freed, I've been an avid listener since the podcast began, and there's a quality advice thrown around for everyone on here. Now to my question. My girlfriend of 6 months just broke up with me last night, and it was pretty unexpected. We have given each other a good amount of our own things as well as gifts, and obviously I want my things back, as well as some closure. She dumped me over the text, and yep, my dick has been inside her. How do I arrange for us to get together to return our things as well as have a conversation where we are both calm?
What about things he means he left his dick inside?
I gotta get my dick back. We're both calm, collected, and can get our feelings on the table. I've never done something like this and feel like it relates to everybody. Thanks in advance, man. Keep up the good work. What do you think? What's the best thing to get together to get all that shit back?
I mean, it's tough, you know? It all depends. Like... This is a difficult one.
Very difficult. I had a girl that I ended things with, and she was like, she literally texted me like the next day after ending it. She was like, I want this, and this thing back.
And what was it? What kind of stuff?
They were stupid things. That's the thing about wanting these things back. That's why I would say, like, I give this advice first to anyone that's in a relationship. If you're going to give a gift to a girl, then give it with the idea of never seeing it back again.
Well, that's just the general life advice. Like, you know, never lend money to someone if you need that money yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And also, when people, like, I mean, side note to this email, what should you get your girlfriend or boyfriend? I always get events that I can do with them because I hate the idea.
And then you want those memories back. Yeah, just eternal sunshine.
Exactly. But I'm saying, like, that's...
Give me your thoughts, bitch.
That, to me, like, that's one of those things that, like...
Give me them summer breezes on your face. I want them.
Well, that's the thing. The memories are what you're trying to build together. So, like, those things that you can, like... You
never walked in the park with me while eating corn dogs, bitch.
Yeah, you can take that away from them. The thing. Like, at least you're having the experience to grow together, and it's not
you
just
you saw
some
Ricky
thing.
In the flesh with nobody. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, that advice for gift giving, I just think, like, because at a certain point, I just don't want to have, like, her being like, we have some loser gave this to me. Like, I don't know what...
No, that's a shitty, like... That's the thing. Like, if you left your iPad at someone's place and
that's
they're like,
thing.
Yeah, we're breaking up. Yeah. But if you got them a gift, that's the whole point of a gift. Is you are giving it to them. It is no longer yours. And I will say, if you give them something that you are purposely giving to them, not just something you left at their place, but if you're giving it to them and you want it back, that's probably indicative of the kind of behavior you showed and proved why she wanted to break up with you in the first place.
Well, I think that there's truth to that. I think also, you know,
it's just bad behavior.
I think a lot of times what you're looking for things back, you're just looking to get the other person that hurt you. So it's like, oh, give me those things that make you feel good about me. I don't want you remembering me in any good light. So I want those things back. So I think, and also this is kind of to the other question he had.
What you really want back is... What you're really asking for back is the vulnerability that you showed when you gave someone something.
You're taking back your pride in a certain point. And I think for him, he's asking, how can we have that conversation after the breakup? I don't think it happens calmly and constructively in any capacity within the, like, 6 months after you break up. I mean, it's one thing if you run into each other 6 months later and you're like, hey, I just want to say, like, I'm happy we met. I'm better for having met you. And... Now I've moved on and I'm hoping you're doing well. That's a constructive thing to say later on. But I don't think any post-breakup conversation is going to get you anywhere or get you back your vulnerability the way you're saying
like,
it right now.
You shouldn't break up with someone via text. You know,
especially 6 months, you know, that's a weird,
that's bad.
But I do think what he's trying to do is get back at her in some way. And it's like, listen, man, the best thing with any breakup is to say, let it go. And even if you write her a text back being like, hey, I am hurt because I was enjoying our time together. And then the text said, but I wish you the best. You're going to feel so much better having said that and then cut off the communication.
Yeah. As opposed to like, you don't get to see Papa Roach now.
Exactly.
You're never going to get like vengeance. You know, I've read a lot of Punisher comics and watched a lot of movies. It never feels as good as you want it to.
No.
You never get, look, I mean, I did punch my stepdad in the nuts once, and that is one of the, a lot of feathering after that.
Yeah, that was the nut feather of punches.
Pretty amazing. So, you know, you get close. But even like, it never feels as good. It's like, all right, so you have this stuff. Now, once you have your stuff back, it is tainted with memories.
Yeah, it just smells like her. It just reminds you of her. Yeah, like, it's not going to get, that's the thing, it's not going to get you anywhere but backwards. You, right now, as the guy who's been dumped and was done over text, like, everything you're saying in this email is like, oh, woe is me, woe is me. It doesn't get you forward. It doesn't get you that next girl. It doesn't get you the real person. And the stuff angle is just a way to see her again to be like, maybe she's into me. Maybe I can get her back. And it's just not going to happen.
It's petty. Yeah, it's not.
Yeah. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Let's do... We have a choice between two.
All right.
Am I a whore?
Well, we already know which one's winning.
Okay. And 4 months...
Unless the second one is yes, I am.
Or groomsman advice.
You know, I got married 2 years ago. Let's try to do both.
Okay.
If we can.
Let's do a quick. We'll do a quick Am I a Whore, and then we'll do Dear J Genius, lady listener, and must say...
I like that women are 53... Women are 53% of the population, and we still had to make a big deal that any of them write in.
Exactly. With a huge guitar riff.
Yeah, yeah.
I love your podcast. Been so happy to see it grow over the years. Nut feathering aside, I need your help. This past weekend, I went to the bars with one of my roommates who's a guy, totally platonic, and his friends. Long story short, one of the guys caught my attention. After many drinks and dancing, we ended up going home together and drunk fucking. The next morning, it was not awkward. We exchanged numbers, have been texting on and off this week. My question is there any potential for this to go further, like turn into something serious, or did I ruin it by having one too many Long Islands and climbing on top when we had only met hours before? Do guys actually care about how soon you fuck, or is it all a myth constructed by women? Thanks and much love.
I think this is a quick one. I think, I mean, that's what he'll say. No, I think it's a case-by-case basis.
Totally.
You know, like, who knows? Like, what happened? Like, maybe to him it was just a one-night stand. Mm. I mean, I do think playing hard to get is a good thing sometimes. But also, you know, jumping right in if the moment feels right and you're both into it is also good.
I think you can play – I think you're totally right. It's case by case. I don't think if you guys – I think the morning time is more worth it to you than the nighttime. And also – if you had a good conversation in the morning, he's gonna be like, "Oh, this is a cool chick.
We had fun.
Maybe it'll be fun again." I don't think you can. I don't think there's this whole thing of like, "Oh, first night." As a girl or a guy, you can still be someone that's hard to get even after having sex.
Absolutely,
you can still keep that going. You know, and I think you keep it going by not saying, "Can we be in a relationship if we fucked already?" No, fuck the relationship. You just want to keep re-upping good times.
Yeah.
So, hey, and you say to him, don't make it easy to hang out, but make it, you know, apparent that you want to. So it's more like, hey, great time the other night. I'm going to be here this weekend. Let me know if you want to do anything Saturday or Sunday. And then make yourself available on your own terms. Not, yeah, I'm available the whole fucking weekend. Oh, Saturday, I can't do it then, but Sunday, are you free then? Let's do something then. And then let him make the plan. Let him come to you a little bit. So you're coming to him halfway, and then you're saying to him, come the other half. And if he does that, that's great. If he doesn't, then it was just a one-night thing to him, but it doesn't have to be that.
Yeah.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. We're going to do one more with Mike Lawrence, and then we'll go to hypotheticals in the news. Groomsman advice.
Yeah.
Dear Yahweh, I'm going to cut the dick sucking and nut tickling and get down to it. I'm a recent post grad from an elite middle tier An elite middle tier California university.
Elite and middle tier is already an oxymoron.
It's so hilarious. Recently, a lifelong friend of mine decided to say goodbye to single life and get married this winter. Don't ask me why. I'll be a groomsman along with two other good friends in our circle. His fiance is great, or so he's told us, and has a plethora of hot sorority sisters who will be in attendance, some of whom will be bridesmaids. I've only been to one other wedding in my young career, and this is my first to be a part of the wedding, so as a rookie to this, my question is pretty broad. What are some tips to kill it at the wedding and reception while bearing this responsibility? I'll be matched up with a cute single bridesmaid, but my buddy suggests I get in her good graces at the rehearsal dinner as a way to get in with the other babes at the wedding. I remember an old episode where you said treat the wedding as a pregame for the after party, but being new to the wedding game, some help on the X's and O's the day of the day would be appreciated. I plan on employing your patented high kick because, like the Jewish sage once says, this dick ain't sucking itself. Keep up the good work. Podcast of the tits. P.S. Get Billy Princell back on. Every time he laughs, I shit my pants. Thanks, Papa JT. What do you think? What is the best move a groomsman can do?
Hopefully prefer Mike Lawrence over Billy Princell. No, Billy's great. I would say the fact that, like, and there really is, like, a way to, like, dislike almost every male that is written in. I'm really, like, this podcast made me realize how much of a feminist I am.
Yeah.
The women email is like, oh, that's reasonable, but the, in my career, go fuck yourself. Jesus, your career of going to weddings?
Yeah, his wedding career.
Oh,
we all have our career stats on weddings posted in our locker.
Oh, yeah. Do you shop at Glengarry, Glen Ross? Fucking douche.
What was the best, as a
married man?
Married man who got married. What was the best thing your groomsman did for you?
You know, just like, I think it was like, you know, my dad didn't show up to my wedding, which is why he continued to do comedy.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
It's not about the laughs that's you from hear. It's about the ones you know will never be there.
Yeah. that's out of the how to become a comedian playbook.
Oh, yeah.
Right there. No dad
empty
at wedding.
Empty seat in front that says papa, which was a special word to me before he ruined that. No, papa's still real. Papa's done.
Yeah.
Although John fucked that up years ago. Although the garlic sauce is nice. No, I think, you know, the important thing about being like a groomsman is just being there. And like my groomsmen were there for me when he wasn't and talked me through it. Because, you know, I mean, obviously I still had a great wedding. Love my wife. We're still together. Mm. But it was a little rough not having dad there.
But it was good to have the support of your buddies.
Yeah, yeah.
And having them. And that's really the advice to anybody who's going to be – if you want to be – a great groomsman.
Yeah.
You're there for your buddy. You're there at any call.
You could get fucked on the side, but if that's your prerogative, you're at the wedding for the wrong reason.
Also, this will get you fucked. Yeah. So, I mean, what will get you fucked is not trying to fuck. And that is the real advice, because really the groomsmen and the bridesmaids are there to add energy to the whole event.
Yeah.
They're there to be the party. They're there to be first on the dance floor. They're there to go up to the mom and help her down the aisle.
But mainly emotional support.
Emotional support, but also they're there to be your fun best friends that are so excited to be there. The worst groomsman bridesmaid is someone that's like kind of not into it.
Yeah, and makes it about themselves.
It makes it about themselves. So what I'm saying is you are making it about this couple. So and that's going to look good on you at every step of the way, because there's a lot of events. There's going to be the rehearsal dinner. There's going to be the engagement party. All those things are opportunities for you to be an energetic, fun person.
This guy should write a good speech.
Write a good speech. You know, get up and then also like go into these events fucking pumped to be there. So like, and if you're pumped to be there, that energy translates to everything else. That goes, and then people are like, and especially for the fuck game, you know, like if we want to go back to this main question, the girl's gonna be like, that guy is on and fun every single fucking time.
Yeah, yeah.
And that word spreads. Whether it's, if you're matched up with a bridesmaid that you're like not that into, she's gonna be like, this guy is dancing at all the events. He's having fun. I think that's like having fun and energy at these weddings and being there for the aunt when she has a lot of questions and being cool to the families and all that stuff. That all, like, you know, that spreads out.
Well,
like,
it's that thing of, you know, wanting someone for the morning after, like, who's going to take care of me? And if you're a selfless groomsman and you show how much of a shit you give.
Yes.
You know, like, I saw today, James Mattern wrote this thing about the five rules of being a good host.
A good host, yes.
Which was amazing, and that guy's great. But he had the first rule was be selfless.
Yes.
I think that's so true, you know, when you're at a wedding. Even if you're not in the party, you are there for the other person.
Yes.
You're not there for yourself.
And here's the thing about being invited to a wedding. We all think that, oh, shit, I don't really want to go to this wedding. They're going to be so upset. You know what? They're not that upset. Yeah. If you don't want to go, don't fucking go. I've been invited to weddings where I'm like, I don't know. And then I'm just like, you know what? I'm not going to go. And I'll have that moment because we're all the stars of our own movie. We all think, oh, my God, their life is devastated. No, those people are looking at that no and being like, oh, good. Now I can bring in my other friend that wants to be there.
Oh, and that's the thing, too. It's like when you know, and this has not much to do with this guy's advice.
No, it's okay.
But, you know, as someone, you know, who got married, like the selfishness, and especially of comedians, but, you know, people are texting you 30 minutes before the reception, like, hey, I'll be there in a little bit. Do you know where parking is and all that? It's like,
that's the worst. Don't
the
be a
groom
pain in
and
the ass.
The bride, like, they're, I mean, every well-organized wedding should have people that take care of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the responsibility of the people about to get married.
But people do that all the time with everything. Like,
I know.
Even when you invite them to like a show.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, what time do you go on? And you're like, oh, here we go. Like, and then they're going to show up at, you know, 8:15 in 30 seconds, and it's right as you're...
On a 7 o'clock show.
Yeah, exactly.
And then leave after you're done and not realize they're embarrassing you at your place of work.
Exactly. So it's one of these things is weddings, invited to something. If you're invited to anything, it's understand you're not that fucking important and take care of your own shit and be an energetic, fun fucking person to be there.
I remember there was a heckler that got thrown out of a show that I was on, and they're like, I was just here to see Mike. And I'm like, shut up.
Why would you do that to
me?
You have that at your wedding. It's like, I was just here to support. No, you fucked up the whole wedding.
Yeah.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Mike Lawrence, thank you for coming on.
You got it, man.
This was fantastic. All of you guys should go follow Mike at the Mike Lawrence on Twitter and Instagram. He's got a podcast, Nerd of Mouth podcast, MikeLawrenceComedy.com, Laugh Boston, Friday and Saturday, the 12th and 13th of August, Comedy Zone in Greenville, South Carolina, September 23rd through 25th. Get involved right now, guys. We're going to be right back with hypotheticals and the news. We'll be right back. A great business needs a stunning website, and with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery, grow your contact list, and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
Hey, this is Joe List, and that's
Mark Norman here.
From Tuesdays with Stories, check out our podcast. Tell them why, Mark.
You're going to love it. It's nothing but laughs, jokes, stories from the road, vagina, and that guy.
Yeah, you're getting laid. We're being silly. Check it out. Find new and archived episodes of Tuesdays with Stories on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and TuneIn.
Hey, guys. Welcome back. Mike, thank you for answering the emails. That was great.
Oh, you got it, man.
Go follow Mike at the Mike Lawrence, Twitter and Instagram. Awesome comic. Get involved. Chris?
Hey, man.
Mansamp?
Yep.
Thank you for coming on.
Happy to be here.
At Mansamp on Twitter, Mandatory Samson Podcast every Friday here on the Stand Up New York Labs Network.
Yep.
Along with this podcast. Let me do one shout out before we get into this. Hey, JTrain, Mandatory shout out request, seeing the progress of the people that actually snap. Hit me with shits and tits. He's on Snapchat. Caddy_20. CADDY_20. So if you want a shout out, just email with the title shout out to JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Let's do some hypotheticals. Ready?
Yeah.
Would you rather every time you come, it has the strength of a shotgun blast, or every time you shit, it always comes out with the strength of a shotgun blast? Neither hurts you personally. If you choose cum, you would always have to pull out. But if you choose shits, it would only be able to shit in a reinforced toilet. No porcelain. Either way, you could really show off at the shooting range. What do you think?
Oh, man. I would do the fucking the cum one.
The cum one?
Yeah.
Any particular reason?
Nah,
just to see what you could do.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to be able to shoot that thing off and hit a target.
Yeah.
That would be fun. It'd be fun to like be having sex and then like pull out and then have like cans on a fence.
Yeah.
And get to shoot it like bing, bing, bing. You know, what do you think, Manson?
Yeah, I think that might, I mean, definitely that sounds fun. I think that'd be a little bit of a pain in the ass, though. I mean, if you are trying to, you know, get somebody pregnant or whatever, it's going to hurt.
Look at two married guys. This is the married guy thought.
But the thing
right now
is, like, if you kill people, they'll prevent that because it's not gun related.
Mm.
So that's nice. They'll stop it from ever happening again.
Yeah, that they'll get rid of. Now there'll be no sex allowed. I also like the idea, the shit one. I would like that one because it'd be fun to break a few toilets along the way. Just like, absolutely. You know, like
yeah, but I feel bad for whoever has to fix them.
Oh, yeah. Just like a mess of a shit.
It's not the guy
porcelain
who owns the toilet.
Yeah.
It's the guy who's hired to, yeah, I don't want
to
fuck that
guy. Go to restaurants you don't like.
What's up, Jew Train? In light of the Draymond Green dick pics and his porn offer. So Draymond Green is a basketball player. He sent off dick pics on Snapchat to a story by accident, and he got offered to do a porn. If you got offered $100,000 to do a porn, who would you pick to film with? I like that he assumes that I would do
it. The answer is yes, right? Just who's your
right
star?
Right away, who's my leading lady? Would you do a porn for $100,000?
I mean, that's totally the wife would have to.
Wife's got to sign off on that.
Yeah, it is. It is funny though, because it's like, oh. That's how much it took me to make in 10 years of comedy. And I could make that in a minute and a half.
In a minute and a half. Short work.
Yeah. Taxes and commission. Does my manager and agent.
Here's when you know.
That's an independent venture for you.
Here's when you know you've gotten older is when you hear these hypotheticals for the money. You're like, before tax, after tax, you start doing like the adult shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm assuming this is after tax. You're coming away with a clean 100 grand. I would do the porn for 100 grand because I would find a way to make it funny.
Yeah.
Because then that, now you get to, you know,
oh, you
now
do a parody.
But if you
parody.
Do it, if you do it in, you know, like California, they tax you for that and then New York taxes for being a resident.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now
I mean,
it's
old. Starting to.
Now it's adding up.
No, it really is. Like, yeah. I've gotten like these supposed to be large checks, and then after everything, you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Because they tax you like you're fucking, you know, for $100,000 every week.
Yeah.
Not just that one time. You're like, no, this was a hypothetical.
This is every week. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's do one more. J Train.
Yeah.
Totally pulling off Excel shit to think of hypotheticals. Would you rather an iPhone that you never have to charge, or every Friday night you find a random bill in your pocket?
What do
you
mean?
Your phone never charged again. You're done charging.
Yeah.
Or you find a random $100 bill.
Yeah.
Every Friday it's a different bill. So it could be like, it could be a 10 one week, but then the next week it could be a 50.
I would go with the iPhone.
Right?
Yeah, the anxiety and of that charger. I've lost hundreds of dollars in chargers.
Yeah, I agree with you. I what do you think?
This might be one of my favorite hypotheticals. That's actually really a really good question.
Because the thing about the amount of time you've wasted being like, I got to go home now and charge. Or
but it's also that Friday feeling, you know, because there's weeks when you get that 20 and you're like, that was the best fucking decision I ever made. But then you get that single and you're like, motherfucker.
Fuck. Yeah.
And your phone's dead. Yeah. And then you're really pissed.
Yeah.
I mean, and
I think this is a when you're older question too, because peace of mind has such a value to it.
Yeah. You know?
Like, I knew that my life was better when I had enough money to drop my clothes off at the laundromat.
And now that time.
Take a cab to the airport.
Yeah.
Those now, are two huge.
You've literally taken 3 hours
and
put it back into your life.
Yeah.
And that matters to you.
Yeah.
Instead of the time. Yeah, I agree.
Dollar denominations, by the way, do go up to 10,000. So keep that in
we'll
mind. So once
it,
in a while,
we'll
you
keep
might
it to 100. You might get the 100. You might all get right. The one.
If we keep it to 100, then I feel like it's because it's also. As someone who's entered the Hamilton lottery 50 times and lost the Hamilton lottery, the anxiety of, oh, this might happen and then it doesn't. I'm telling you, man, like when you get those singles, you're going to fucking.
You're going to be fucking pissed. Yourself. And also, I the phone is just way too important to me at this point in my life. Like I am on that thing way too much and way so much that it's at a point where I'm like, I'm charging a good amount of my days.
Right.
You know, like I'm doing that is a piece of my day. We're charging. Like I come here to tape the podcast, I immediately charge because I'm like, oh, I know it's a free hour that I can be next to a charger.
Yeah,
which is really sad.
Yeah, I feel Here's the only reason to go with the Bills. I mean, the Bills, it's not a bad idea. This is a brewing question. The reason to go with the Bills is that the second you tell anyone that you have a phone that doesn't fucking...
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to steal it.
They're going to take it.
Having a child with mutant powers.
Yeah.
The government's after you.
Right away.
Yeah. And that is, I mean, although...
Yeah.
Is it the same pocket that the bill comes out of? Because someone would want that
Maybe
too.
Maybe we want that pocket.
Yeah.
Now you got people grabbing at your pocket.
Yeah. Well, look...
Do you have to keep that same...
I would think it would show up under your skin. Like, now that's your mutant power.
Oh, God.
That'd be a weird mutant power. I'd love
the
to see what...
The most Jewish mutant power.
I know. I was just about to say that. Like, how funny would... You know, like in Star Wars, they make the aliens look like the race that they make them sound like?
I know. The Asians?
Asians. So it's like, it'd be funny if they had an X-Men character that could, like, a 50 came out of their wrist, and it was just the most Jewish looking guy.
Yeah, and you thought Magneto was a Jew.
Yeah, exactly.
He's the guy that Magneto knew in Auschwitz.
Yeah, he died. He had to die.
Here's why the phone scenario actually makes more sense now than taking the bill too. In like a lost thing, or you get on an island, what difference does it make if you have $100 in your pocket? That phone that's never going to die is really going to matter.
Absolutely.
You
know? That's like the Swiss Army knife of all Swiss Army knives.
Flashlight.
And what if you're shitting?
I mean, you probably don't have reception on the island though.
Yeah, but still have the games. Comfort. You can look at some pictures, maybe something.
You got something to keep you company, podcasts.
Yeah.
So let's do some news.
So do you remember Martin Shkreli, the piece of shit pharmaceutical guy?
Farmer bro.
Yeah. Avid listener of the podcast. Yeah,
I think he wrote in this week.
Wu-Tang album purchaser.
Yeah.
He is now on a new crusade. I mean, it's a bit of a joke, tongue-in-cheek, but he is... trying to get scientists together to bring Harambe back from the dead.
Oh, that's fucking great.
I mean, come on.
It's absurd, but his tweets are actually pretty funny.
Now he's just trying to get within people's social graces. Like, this is his way of like, hey guys, I'm funny now.
Well, it's like whenever Zimmerman's in the news, I'm like, why don't I have his agent?
Yeah,
this guy. Always the best fucking PR in the world.
Yeah. I don't know.
Harambe back from the dead.
I mean,
it is, literally, how can I get attention?
It is. And it's for him, it's also, how can I get attention that makes me look like this whole thing is my thing now?
You know,
I raise the price on that. I also fuck with people who care about a gorilla.
And you know? Like, he hits on girls, be like, hey, I'm Martin Shkreli, AIDS price raiser. Yeah. AIDS pill raiser. That was me.
He definitely calls himself Pharma Bro. I just think, like a guy like this is his way of like, he didn't mean to be that character that he's been turned into in the media. And now that he is that character, he's playing that part.
He 100%. Does it really well.
He does it well.
He's a real fucking Prince Joffrey.
Fair enough. Do we have any other stories?
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about Tim Tebow. He's trying to get into the Major League Baseball now as opposed to playing football.
He what?
Tim Tebow is attempting to become a Major
That's
League
like
Baseball player.
Michael Jordan getting to baseball if he wasn't that good at basketball.
Yeah, it makes me think that Tim Tebow's a little bit more crazy than maybe we want to believe. Like, does he need to? Why is he's now is
but
a
him
correspondent?
Him and Shkreli are kind of the same, where they get all this fucking attention.
Yeah,
and then they think that it's like, oh, it's me, and then it's like,
but he's good on TV. Like Tebow is like good on SEC Network. Like I like when he's like on. Like, why not just be that? Like, you can't like the baseball.
The thing with it, he's 28, so it's not like he's I mean, he still feels like he probably has a bit of an athletic career, and I bet he is pretty good. We looked up some of his high school stats. He was almost a 500 hitter in high school. Like, he probably
could give it a shot. A lot of football players play baseball too.
Yeah,
I'm waiting for like 4 years from now in the Olympics. He's like, listen, I'm on the Ethiopian bobsled team.
I found
some Ethiopian blood, and now I'm gonna do this.
While I was fucking an Ethiopian on her period.
Yeah. Well, thank you for bringing the news.
Yeah, anytime, man.
At Mansamp on Twitter. Mandatory Samson Podcast every Friday. Mike, thank you for coming on. This was great.
Yeah, man. Thank you, buddy.
At the Mike Lawrence on Twitter and Instagram. MikeLawrenceComedy.com. Go check him out. I am Jared Fried. We're here every Tuesday and Friday with your emails and your questions and your stories. Keith sent them in, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. You can find me on all platforms, jtrain56. We will be back next episode. Boom.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. and find all of our shows at standuplabs.nyc.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Boom!